What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Smoking Tire Podcast. This episode is brought to you by Policy Genius. Listen, shopping for home and auto insurance sucks. Seems like a daunting task. All those forms, all those bills, but protecting the things you've worked so hard for, it's important. The trick is knowing where to find the right coverage at the best price. That's why Policy Genius makes it easy. They combine cutting-edge insurance marketplaces with help from licensed experts to save you time and money. Policy Genius saves their home and auto customers an average of $1,000 a year by reshopping their rates. Here's how it works. First, you head over to policygenius.com and answer a few quick questions about yourself and your property. Then Policy Genius does the rest. They'll compare rates from over 30 top insurers from Progressive to Nationwide to find the lowest quotes. Their licensed experts will look for ways to maximize your saving, including bundling your home and auto policies. If Policy Genius finds a better rate than what you're currently paying, they'll get you switched for free. That kind of service has earned Policy Genius a 5-star rating across over 1,600 reviews on Trustpilot and Google. So if you're a homeowner, head over to policygenius.com right now to get started. They've saved their home and auto insurance customers an average of $1,000 a year by reshopping policies. Policy Genius. When it comes to insurance, it's nice to get it right. We are also brought to you by Innova Electronics. I love these guys. They sent me the hardware and they have the goods. You ever wonder what that check engine light is trying to tell you? Some people ignore it, cover it up, put tape over it, just dismiss it as a mystery. With Innova, you can easily identify both the problem and what it takes to fix it, like having a personal mechanic in your pocket. Step one, you scan. You identify the problem. That's easy. Just connect your Innova diagnostic tool using features like hotkeys and the patented all-in-one display. Scan your vehicle's computers to detect for any malfunctions. Step two, you verify. By pairing your tool with Innova's new Repair Solutions 2 mobile app, you now have free access to over 60 million fixed solutions verified for accuracy by ASE certified technicians. Step three, you fix it. But it doesn't stop there. Repair Solutions 2 is the complete solution. In the app, you'll find troubleshooting information and even be able to order the right parts for the job. And if you still have questions, Innova's USA-based customer support team is always available. You can buy Innova products at all major automotive retailers on Amazon and at Innova.com. Find the problem and fix the problem. Here's what you go. Here's what you do. Go to Innova, Innova.com, and use code TST at checkout to get 20% off your total order and free shipping. That's Innova.com. Use code TST at checkout to receive a 20% discount off your whole order with free shipping. Innova Electronics. Find the problem. Fix the problem. All right, guys, this episode of the Smoking Tire Podcast, the only one we're going to have this week before Thanksgiving, features my best friend from back in the day, Larry Casilla, the founder and owner of Ammo NYC. He is one of the best car detailers on the planet. He is also a chemist who makes his own products. He knows more about car detailing than anyone I have ever known, and also is one of my best friends. He rules. It's Larry. Larry Casilla of Ammo NYC on the Smoking Tire Podcast.
All right, motherfuckers. This is the Smoking Tire Podcast. We exist. Hey, Larry.
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's happening, buddy? I like your backdrop is now better than my backdrop.
You
it's
like
a good
that?
Backdrop. Yeah, you got them fresh cool ass stuff. Garage doors yeah. going on over there.
Yeah, they are pretty cool. They're double insulated. That was kind of the big to do with these. And it kind of acts when it's sunny out. It acts, you know, some diffused light, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's like a big softbox.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say. Softbox. We have softboxes all around here, but we didn't have anything on the back, so it worked out nice.
Yeah, it's good.
And it's warm.
Yeah, double insulated. It's like freezing out there right now, right?
Right now, it's pretty cold. Like yesterday, it was like 65, 70 degrees, something like that. And then today, it's probably in the low 40s, but it's cold and wet. Yeah. So it's one of those disgusting days. And we were good for like a week. And then when I got the Rimac, of course, the fastest car, whatever, it started to snow for the first time. So I couldn't drive the car. They're like, yeah, you're not going to be able to drive that on summer tires.
Were they actually like going to let you have a go in it though?
No, not a go, but like I needed some, you know, better than I do. You needed some driving shots, really taking photographs of it, you know, a little bit of drive by here and there, but I'm not looking to, you know, punch a 1,000 horsepower car that there's three of in the world or whatever it is. So it just was snowing, and they're like, yeah, that's a no-go. I was like, thank you, but I didn't need you to tell me that. I'm not going to take this car out in the snow. But
yeah. No, is that, how did you end up with that thing in the garage anyway?
So yeah, the Manhattan, you know, the guys at Manhattan Motor Cars. So Manhattan Motor Cars called and said, you know, we obviously loved the Jesco video, that kind of thing. That did really well. Mr. Koenigsegg was thrilled and he wants to do more stuff. But in the meantime, can we deliver the Rimac for you to detail and do a video and kind of bring it up to speed, because we have to bring it to a couple of different shows. They're starting to display it or whatever. So they delivered it up here, but it worked out pretty good.
It's a good looking car.
Pretty nice car. It's a cool car for sure. It was in decent condition when it got here, so it wasn't a whole lot to do. We were struggling to figure out, what am I doing on a car that's in pretty good condition as it is? So we actually ended up had to sand a few spots here and there, but overall it was great. For someone like you and me, taller, bigger dudes, I mean, it's really tight.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen tight. The only person I've actually seen like sitting in one driving it is Richard Hammond, and he's tiny, like really tiny. Right.
It's a little tight. It's a little tight. There's a lot of leg room, no headroom. What was cool was you could shift it from all wheel drive to two wheel drive, the front wheel drive to rear wheel drive. I mean, so there's a lot of options. And then we were trying to get, I don't know if you're familiar with Rimac or Mr. Rimac or whatever.
Familiar enough to know it's pronounced Ramatz.
Ramatz, that's it. He came on and I was like, how do you say this, Rimac? And he's like, oh, it's Ramatz, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, if I had a name that was unpronounceable or that was pronounced different than it was spelled, I probably wouldn't name the company that. But that's just me. I don't know. What do I know?
Hey, you know.
I'm just a guy with a name that everybody fucking pronounces wrong.
Yeah, Mr. Farah, Matthew Farah. Yeah, he came on and he was pretty cool. And one of his helper, like the marketing guy or whatever, came on and they were cool. I didn't realize that they made basically all the electrical parts for like Koenigsegg and a bunch of other supercars. So they're focused on all the electronic stuff. And then I guess he just did this spinoff project with the Rimac, and now they have the Concept 2 coming out as well.
Yeah, it's sort of like Koenigsegg and their flex fuel projects that fund the hypercars. It's the same kind of deal, but batteries and electronics.
Yeah, so it had this massive, probably a 3-foot by 2-foot wide battery in the back, so it was kind of neat. The front, you know, just regular suspension kind of thing. It was a very cool car. I think it's going to probably do well. I'm not sure. I think it's priced at 1.6 or 1.3 or something. So it's
did it feel like crazy. Built as well as like Koenigsegg or Pagani or any of that kind of stuff? Or is it a little more concept car-y?
I would say from the little bit that I was in it, I would say it's a little bit more concept-y. Like the leather and everything. Yeah. I mean, it's great. It's a great car, but I would, you know, the Jesco felt a little more like there's more versions of it, you know, like they've been doing it longer.
Yeah. Like when I got in a, like, you ever drive level. A fucking Fisker? You ever get in one of them things?
I have. Actually,
no,
we
they
did,
felt kind of, they felt kind of janky. Ooh, nice punch in, Zach. You know how they felt kind of like janky? Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that. Yeah. We actually had a Fisker in the other day. It was kind of in that world, but, you know, they're in the right path and the car's pretty cool, but.
Yeah, it's one of those cars that could have been cool, but like. Then it wasn't, but then they kept trying to keep it alive. And it's like, we've already established this isn't cool. Stop trying to make Fisker a thing.
we had one come in because there was a scratch on it, and the scratch was like this long.
Zach,
and
cut away.
We were desperately trying to get up.
Sorry. Zach was holding on me. He's distracted by managing YouTube feeds, and I'm all, if you're going to cut to the pretty one.
So
you had a long ass scratch on it? Sorry.
We had a really long scratch on one of them, and they basically said, do whatever you got to do, and the best that you can get out of this, great. Otherwise, there's nothing we can do. I'm like, what are you talking about? The part for that was $12,000 for one little piece.
Yeah.
On the Fisker, because they don't have any parts anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, that's why you don't want a fucking boutique car like that. I mean, that car is just like, we had a customer, and I don't think that. It doesn't give away anything about the customer, but we had a customer that had a Model 3 with some cosmetic damage. It didn't even look like anything. But, you know, you go to that Tesla authorized body shop, get the estimate. Turns out, like, poof, you got to remove and repaint fucking everything. And you get some a shocking estimate for what it can cost to fix some real minor cosmetic damage in a car like that. And even, you know, compared to a Fisker, a Tesla is like a fucking Caprice, you know, compared to a Crown Vic to a Fisker, you know. Like,
we had the boot in the other day. That thing is
Yeah, dude. Yo, Jimmy G knows how to blow his money, dude. That thing is fucking, that thing is so sick.
Dude, that was the most giggles I've ever had in a car. I'm telling you right now, not even like, literally, you hit the gas and you lift the front end from stoplight to stoplight, like 100 yards. I'm going up in the air like this and the car is coming back down again. People are losing their mind. There you go. That's it right there. Absolutely stunning, stunning car in terms of the feeling that you would get in when you get in the car. Everybody lost their mind. The exhaust is right here. I had a lady pull up next to me. Mind you, I have headphones on because it's so loud in there. This is the pre-runner, by the way, that one that that Zach just showed.
Yeah.
So you have headphones on because it's deafeningly loud. And then basically this lady comes up next to me. It's almost like out of Central Casting. She has a Prius. I'm on the Beacon Bridge. There you go. She has a Prius and she's going like this. Roll the window down with her hand. And then I roll the window down. You know, I hit the power come down. She goes, that is too loud. You need to get this off the road or whatever. And then of course, in true fashion, I hit the gas and went up in the whole nine yards. So we have this all on film, by the way. So the film is coming out in the next couple of weeks. It's an absolutely ridiculous car. We did four wheels off up at Monticello. They have a dirt track back there.
Oh yeah.
And so we went like, it's all on film, like four wheels off. I'm screaming like a girl. I mean, I'm like freaking out. Cause I didn't think I went with Nat. You remember Nat Mundy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know Nat? Yeah, Nat.
Yeah,
so Nat is in charge of selling all the, you know, he's in charge of selling the all the cars, HK Motors.
Wait, he's in charge of selling the boots?
He's super cool. Yeah, dude.
Nat Mundy is the salesman for the fucking Glickenhaus boot?
You are correct.
Yo, that's hilarious, bro. I got to come back east and have a go now.
Yeah, Nat is the man. I was with him this morning. As a matter of fact, I have a piece over here that I can get up and show you. I'm working with Glickenhaus now and his son Jesse, and we're getting some stuff together. Basically, the 004s, you know, the race car for the street that's built like the McLaren with the one seat in it.
Yeah.
You know, with the one seat up front and the two on the sides.
Yeah.
That just came in this morning, literally this morning. And so they're building a package where the base, you remember, they're a mile from my shop.
Yeah, they're in Danbury. Yeah, yeah.
They're in Danbury. Yeah, there you go, Zach. So all of their cars, we're still working on it, so it's not definite right now, but all of their cars are going to get the basic package. And the basic package means you don't have to add anymore. We're going to come in and put a clear bra on it. We're going to put, on my Reflex product on there. That kind of thing. So that's going to be base. And then the next level up is going to be a wrap, meaning we can change the color and do all kinds of crazy, wacky stuff like the picture you're seeing there. And then the next level up, again, this is all still in discussion, is for me to do a full like concourse polishing of the carbon fiber. If you guys are going to stay, Zach, stay on that picture there because I'm going to get up. I'm going to hold this piece that I just got right here that's worth more than the building. Check this out.
So are you polishing dry carbon fiber, like, or is there clear coat on it like paint?
Yeah. No, it's dry. Can you see that right now?
So hang on, Zach's got to go back full screen.
Go full screen, Zach. All right. Can you see
me? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can see you. So he's, oh, wow, that's a beautiful piece.
There you go.
It's like a satin finish. So so do you polish that to a, down at the bottom? Yeah.
Those are the two pieces that came together. I'm trying to be careful because this piece is like worth more than my building. There you go. I got Dan over here holding it for me. But these two pieces, that's the way it basically comes out. So it's a little bit, darker or whatever. It's sanded.
Is that where the two pieces are joined?
So we're going to sand this. That's correct. And the glue, I guess, came out here. And of course, you sand it down. Makes sense. So I'm going to come in and try to polish this whole thing to make it, where is it? Can you see it here? Right around here. See, it looks a little shinier in this area.
I mean, it's hard to see from the camera like 8 feet away. I mean, it's tough.
For people listening, it's like it's bare carbon fiber, but down the middle of it, there's almost like a dulled racing stripe where the two pieces of carbon were joined together. So you kind of have shiny bare carbon like you'd expect, although not super polished, but down the middle, it looks like it was almost scuffed with like a Scotch-Brite pad.
Yeah,
exactly. I'll put it down right here.
Wow. So are you gonna do that fucking one piece at a time? Why do I feel like your AirPod just died?
I think we can't hear you.
I think
your
AirPod just died. Wah wah. AirPod dead. Uh oh. Well, we'll see what he comes up with.
Well, his lab died too because we don't hear him.
Oh.
Something.
Damn.
Something hath happened.
Fucking Jim Glickenhaus though. This guy is figuring out how to do it. He's just like building race cars for the street, building trophy trucks for the street.
Pretty cool.
We have a visual on Larry, but no audio. I can't hear you, Larry. I think your lavalier died too. AirPods and lavalier. Look, I can see, but I really like watching him get frustrated like this because he kind of like loses his shit.
You can hear him through speakers.
You can hear him. See him like slowly going crazy.
This is the calmest I've seen him in this kind of situation.
He's kind of freaking out over there.
You hear me now? Good.
Oh, hey, there you are.
Yeah. What? It's called dead batteries.
Yeah. People need to be more prepared when they're doing our fucking podcast, is all I'm saying. This is bullshit.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyhow, thank you, Matthew.
Anyhow, you can polish bare carbon.
Yeah, so basically what's happening is all the pieces just came in off the boat literally today, and so they're going to put them all together. Now, here's the kind of the interesting part that I'm shooting a film with them. We're going to polish every single car that comes out, right? This particular car, which is kind of interesting, is the car that's going to be crash tested up in Canada in a couple of weeks. So what we're going to do for a video is, one, practice on this car because I want to make sure all the techniques work out and I want to do it on a customer's car. We're going to polish every single part on the car inside and out and do it within a couple of days because we have to do it quickly. Then the car is going to be driven for 3 or 4 days. And then from what I understand, trucked up to Canada, and then they're going to do Canadian highway, what's it called, Matt?
Moose test.
The certification.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're going to be doing it all with one car, from what I understand. They're going to be doing 6 or 7 tests.
Yeah, they crash into it like on different sides. Like they crash on the front and then the back and then the side, then the roof. They really fucking turn that one car into a little hay bale, don't they?
Yeah. It's going to be the most expensive paperweight ever kind of thing. But I'm filming the whole thing, so that's what's exciting about it.
Are you going to go film the crash test?
Yeah. We're working out all the logistics. And then they said,
they let you into
Larry,
Canada?
Which was really, well, that's the part we're trying to figure out right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's like, the only, that might be a little bit of a problem.
That's the only little catch there. But they did say, I was talking to Jesse yesterday, he's super sweet, nice guy. And I said, man, I really want to do the Steve McQueen car. They said, no problem. Interview with Jim, no problem. And then they're like, hey, why don't you come to the Baja 1000? I was like, great, I'm down. When? You know, it'll be a great film. I can clean it afterwards because they're delivering the Baja car here afterwards with all the mud and stuff.
Yeah.
And they're like, Tuesday. And I'm like, Tuesday what month? They're like, Tuesday as in like Tuesday. So I was like, no, I can't go on Tuesday. It's like 3 days from now. So I was kind of bummed about that. But
it lifts the front wheels off the ground. That's very cool. I get it. But is it like, what do they want for them things?
They want, don't quote me on this, 265 for the two door and 285 for the four door. And
you know,
then,
that's
you know,
not that bad. I was expecting to hear like a 400, 500 kind of thing.
No, if you talk to Jim, which I did last week in the the place that he has in Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah.
So I went there and saw the whole thing. I mean, he's a pretty passionate dude. I'll leave it at that. He's an incredible guy. And I said, what's kind of your mission here? He's like, the mission is I want to be able to have these crazy cars that we believe in and be able to drive them, but have them somewhat affordable. I'm using air quotes, of course, around affordable because it's still expensive, but it's not, you know, like a $2 million car kind of thing. He's like, it's still a reasonable. And the one that I drove here and I had for almost 6 days was incredibly loud and very whatever, but that's the pre-runner. He's like, the ones that'll be made for the street will have, you know, carpets on the inside or whatever, or things to make it so that it's not so loud and so sort of violent or whatever the word is you want to use on the inside. But it'll still have you can pretty much do anything you want with that car. So I'm pretty stoked.
It's an LS with an automatic, right?
Correct. Correct. And I think the one I drove had straight cut gears because it, I mean, you know, it really pounded into gear. It's an incredible, it's a great weekend car. I don't know about every single day kind of thing, but the one that they're coming out for the street apparently is more every single day. And I told them, I was like, I'm saving everything up because that was like the ultimate car for me. It was that much fun driving this car.
I don't think you actually want one.
You've never?
I don't think
you don't
want
think
one.
So?
No, I don't think you want one.
Oh, man, a four-door, it would be amazing.
I think you think you want one, but I don't think you actually want that. I don't think that you would...
What?
I don't think your fucking wife would hate that. Your wife would hate that. My wife, who is the most patient with cars of anybody I know, she puts up with the dumbest shit that I buy. And she would be like, what the fuck is wrong with you? What are you doing with that? Your wife would not put up with it for a second.
She definitely wouldn't. I'm not going to argue with you there, but I think until you drive that car, I think you haven't driven that yet.
I haven't driven it, no, and yeah, I'd love to. Jimmy G, no. Let's do it.
But
hit me up, Jesse G. Let's go.
You know, you have been in off-road vehicles before.
Yes.
There's something special about the torque and the soft suspension. You can rock the car around really easily. Like, it's super entertaining.
I have been in big power trophy style trucks and off-road buggies that go really fast. And, you know, I've yumped Raptors over stuff and my Safari. Like, I understand why a trophy-style vehicle is so much fun. I get it. And if it's mid-engine so it fucking can pull the wheels off, like, even better. Even better. I don't think it's... You tell me. I wouldn't call it good looking.
No.
I mean, it's not a pretty thing.
I don't know. I wouldn't call it like a voluptuous Ferrari kind of pretty. It's more like when you look at it, most people just go like, every single person that when I was driving it gave thumbs up and go, what the hell is that? That's every single thing. They're like, what is that? What is that? So from that sort of perspective,
I mean, they said it's
fun
to
drive.
To Frankenstein too, but
it's what Carl would call a lecturer's car. You have to explain to everybody what it is. You know, you roll up in a Pista and they don't go, what is that? They just know it's a Ferrari and that it's expensive and fast. Right. This thing is have to give them the whole fucking spiel. And at the end of it they go,
right.
And it's called a Glickenhaus boot. Okay. You know, like, all right, whatever. Yeah. You know, if you're not a McQueen nerd, you know, you don't get it. But though McQueen, you can't underestimate McQueen nerddom. McQueen nerddom is really the ruling elite of the automotive industry, isn't it?
That's true. I actually got to see the real boot at Jim's place. It's unbelievable. Yeah, there it is.
So the boot is based on this original thing. Do you want to tell the story of the original boot, Larry?
I don't have as much as I would like, but basically Steve McQueen built this based off of some other vehicle, which I'm sure someone's going to, you know, kill me for. I can't remember exactly what it was, but he ended up running and winning, from what I understand. And this is an homage to that, to his boot. And
I don't
and
think
Jim
McQueen built
it.
I think someone built it, got McQueen to drive it. And it was a radical design that was a departure from either Volkswagen Beetles or pickup trucks, because, you know, they were running, you know, modified pickup trucks back then, basically. And this was sort of one of the first dedicated tube chassis, you know, optimized Baja vehicles that was not based on a production truck, I believe. But I don't think Steve McQueen was involved in the conception of it. I think he just liked it and drove it. And then won.
Yeah, Jim told me that the buggy itself, you know, the frame, the buggy aspect of it was built in the same thing, in the same location as the like the Mars rover or whatever. So he has all these pictures.
Oh, really? That's
kind
of cool.
Maybe not the Mars rover, but what?
The lunar rover. The lunar rover. The lunar rover. The moon one. Yeah.
So when he has all these black and white photographs on the wall next to the boot in his place, where you can see them pushing the boot out of the same facility as this NASA vehicle.
That's pretty cool.
So Yeah, it's pretty cool. And he has the map, the original map that Steve used during his time driving it. And then apparently there's a, I don't know what he was talking about. There was like a bag, some bag of the woman that was in the movie with him or something like that. So there's, Jim's got like this beautiful like case all in his, you know, in his facility that has all this, the art that's associated with it. It's pretty neat.
We'll have to do a showdown. Glickenhaus versus Adam Carolla. Adam has this really strange shrine to Paul Newman with all these race suits. I mean, not only does he own like, I don't know, 10 of Paul Newman's race cars, he's got this fucking shrine thing going on. He's really obsessed with the Paul Newman. And I think Jim has some of that for McQueen.
Maybe. He's got a nice facility, though. I'm going to be shooting a video hopefully soon there. It's pretty cool.
The boot looks a bit like they took a Myers Manx and then they just stretched it and, you know, packaged it a little bit differently. Like the Myers Manx or any VW-based buggy back then, it was a mid-engine or mid-rear engine. And what they did, looking at the original boot, is they kind of stretched the wheelbase, gave it way bigger tires. Like, I mean, it's really cool that the front tires are taller than their own fender almost. Like, it almost looks like an open wheel car that they put huge balloon tires on that were, you know, meant for the Mars Rover.
Well, they squat the center of mass down in between the wheels instead of in, you know, a traditional pickup truck where it would be up above the chassis.
Right.
You know?
So, I mean, I can see why it would perform well. It's not good looking, I don't think, but who cares? Because it's a purpose-built vehicle that's made to just survive off-road. And surviving the Baja 1000, who gives a shit what your shit looks like?
I agree.
And you're talking about a race car. Seats in there?
Yeah.
In the original?
No,
in the original, absolutely... What?
No, they're what? I was asking Zach. I was just asking Zach to get a picture, but they're absolutely what? Like death trappy?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no cushions. There's nothing. I mean, it's a real... for lack of a better word, man's car, whatever you want to call it. Like, I looked at it, I was like, Matt would last 10 minutes in there, and I would last about 30 seconds in there. I mean, just destroy your back driving that thing. You're just sitting on nothing. You know, there's no cushion. There's nothing. Can you imagine going over, you know, 80 miles an hour, going over a jump on that thing?
Yeah, I'm good.
Crazy.
I'm good on that. I'll take something a little more cushy. But the new one looks awesome. I would love to have a go. And the four-door one in particular looks really nice. That's fucking cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad that these kinds of things are being available. This is like, I'm super stoked that that's like a thing that you can buy. And I thought you were going to tell me it was 500 grand. I'm glad it's not 500 grand. I mean, it's crazy expensive, but like, you're not even getting into a Ferrari F8 for that. You know what I mean?
There you go.
That's the new interior, right?
That's not the one that I drove. Yeah, that's got a lot more leather and things.
And it's got is that what the shifter lever looks like, or is that a manual shifter in this one?
No, it's not a manual. At least mine wasn't. Do you see the black thing? See the black thing on the right? Go back to that other one.
Yeah, the black thing next to the shifter on the right. Lever. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one that pulls it into two-wheel, four-wheel drive.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the shifter itself, you know, clunks it into. Matt, remember the obviously you remember the Cobra. When you put it into gear, it would do that clunk.
Conk.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
That's what it, when you stick it in there, and basically the car squats, doom, you know.
Yeah.
Put it in the gear because it's like, it's all torqued out, you know.
Bro, yesterday I was down in Newport Beach. I tested a yacht. I tested a 57 foot yacht that had 2,600 horsepower. Okay.
I saw your Instagram.
You saw the Instagram picture of it? Dude.
Yeah, yeah.
And this thing was crazy. And when you went with the throttles from neutral to first, or you know, to forward or to reverse, it engaged with the gnarliest thud, and idle speed in forward, just put it in gear and idling, was almost 9 knots. Idle speed. Think about how hard it would be to dock something like that. Like,
well, how do you do that? You just like coast?
Dude, you basically coast, and then you can use, it had bow and stern thrusters, electric bow and stern thrusters, but it was tricky. It was the dude. The dude fucking did it like pretty much on inertia. It was tricky. Yeah.
All right. So like, we need to have a different sort of conversation. Why are you test driving super yachts? Do we need to have another conversation offline here? Like, what happened? Like, are you
why
just
would
doing, like, fun or?
Yeah. Like I like 2 years ago, I did some. I did decided to review some boats, and I was like, this will be a thing I do boats once in a while, and it made like no money, but it was a good scam to get out on people's sick boats actually, and and so. I stopped doing them because I was like losing money doing them because it's hard to get, you know, it takes a lot of time to do a boat. It's just, you can't do them like cars in the canyon. Yeah. So, but this dude I know in Newport, who goes by Big Boat Ben on Instagram and YouTube is fucking great. Yeah. It's the best username ever.
How did you get that Instagram shot? Like, it looked like you had like a GoPro hanging out or was it?
It
like
was a pole. Three, six. Well, the one Zach's showing right now is a drone, but the other one is I'm holding a 360 cam on a pole.
It's how just, come you don't see the pole? Am I just like...
Because the pole is at the direct bot, like the pole is in the sort of one part of the shot that the camera can't capture.
The software's gotten really good with
the
those,
software
too.
Has gotten really good. If you look very carefully at the video, you can see little bits of pole. But yeah, it's a very cool shot. But...
Yeah, that was
it great. Was, dude, you put this thing in the gear and went, and then you're just glubbing it at a speed that is way too fast to be docking. It's crazy.
What does something like that cost?
$2.5 million.
Yeah, why not, right?
57 wow. feet long, zero staterooms. That's a day boat only.
Wow.
Yeah. Think about that. Think about the implication of your 60-foot yacht with no staterooms. The implication is the staterooms are on my bigger yacht.
That's true.
The implication is I don't. And
that's the dinghy.
Yeah, and this thing goes fucking 60. So, like, it was built by for Billy Joel. It's a one of one. Billy Joel was the first owner. The second owner is now selling it. But it was built so that Billy Joel could go from his home in Sag Harbor to Manhattan for lunch and back on boat. It's like 2 hours to Manhattan by boat from Sag Harbor in that thing. So sick.
It's a lunch taxi.
Yeah. The dude's in Newport Beach. He said 25 minutes to Catalina for lunch. That's so G. On a 60-footer? Imagine how much fuel you're using. Like
the next words out of my mouth. That's like $2,000 worth of fuel right there.
Oh, my God, dude. The engines are 24-liter V12s with two 80-millimeter turbochargers.
My gosh.
Yeah. And the red line is 2,800 RPM. But, like, you should see how fast it gets from 35 knots to 40 knots. Like, when you push it from 2,200 RPM to 2,700 RPM, and the turbos just go, and it all of a sudden is like, whoa, it's pulling. Like, that was the shit. That was the fucking jam.
That's awesome. So is that going to be an actual video review?
Yeah. It's, I don't know why I'm doing
that. That wasn't just like an excuse for the afternoon to go hang out.
I mean, that's why I did it, but I had to bring cameras along and make a video, you know, quid pro quo, Clarice. Yeah. And it was good. You know, it's a good time to be in Newport because as you're cruising by through the harbor, what you see are a lot of sad, sort of faded and tattered Trump flags dangling very limp and very flaccid. There's a lot of flaccid Trump flags. There wasn't a lot of wind that day, which made it good for filming, but it also really emphasized the flaccid nature of a Trump 2020 flag on November 11th.
Is there a particular word you're focusing on there? Flaccid? It seems,
The impotence of the California Trump voter cannot be overstated.
Apparently not.
Anyway.
Yeah, I wonder where you stand, but moving on, yeah.
Anyway,
very cool.
Derek did a kick ass job on the Ferrari, by the way.
Derek is the man.
He's a G.
Derek knows how to sand anything. He taught me sanding years ago down at McGuire's, and he is the absolute grand pimp at sanding. He's fantastic. So did he say anything about the car? Like, was there?
Yeah, no. Well, it had a repaint like 10 years ago, so there was plenty of paint there to work with. They did a nice job with the repaint. He was able to remove my fake badges that the last owner put on. They put on fake fender shields, which were so terrible.
You got them off quick, too.
You got them off really quick.
I was gone half an hour.
It was no problem. And I made a video. It's coming out next week, and it's he did a killer job. The car, you know, remember when you guys did my Mustang and it was like a mirror? You know, it's like it's like that. He just did an amazing job on it, and it looks beautiful. And you know, he steamed the engine and the fucking whole thing. It's great. The steaming of the engine was good.
How long did it take?
He did 16 hours.
That's a long day.
It was
did he
long.
End up standing it or no? Like, what is he doing in that picture? Go back to that picture. Is he
in that picture? He was claying, I believe. No, he didn't sand. Yeah, no, he didn't have to wet sand it. He did not have to wet sand. He did a lot of clay. He did a lot of compound, cutting, and he did a lot of polishing. And he also, you know, he took all the badges off, and he did underneath all the badges and all that stuff, and it was good. It was really, really nice. Yeah, he's a man.
That guy's the man. He's a good dude. I'm trying to get everybody to come out here, but COVID's just COVID's crazy out here. So I want him to come and see the shop and the whole nine yards and do some training or whatever, but it's not happening, man.
What did you want to promote? I remember you wanted to talk about something that I don't think we talked about yet. Was there something you wanted to promote?
I don't remember. I don't think there was anything. Subscribe to the channel. All the videos are like.
No. It was a thing. Pro. Reflex is a thing now.
This. Yeah, Reflex Pro. This is like a whole new version of craziness. It is.
And what
by
is it?
Far, well, basically, it's my version or my answer to coatings, and I've been like super hesitant to come out because I wanted to make sure that you know, like everything else, I've been obsessive about it and make sure it's the right thing. But this one in particular has antimicrobial additives into it. You can probably see a little bit on the bottom there. I'm not sure if you can see a little bit of that white stuff, but
we can't, but that's okay.
You can't really see it.
I can't see the microbes in the bottle.
It's been certified and you can't see the microbes. Yeah, we actually put germs inside, so that's how that works. But yeah, we've been working really hard on it, and it's doing really well in the market now, and we're pumped. But I don't even think that's what we were talking about, but you just led me into that.
Is that something you add to your water? I mean, that's, you know, the bottle is like a 1 ounce bottle, right? So that you just add that to everything else you're spraying down your car with? I don't know how things work.
No. Yeah, you apply it with a blue applicator. So I have a video online that shows all this kind of thing, but basically it lasts 28 to 36 months. And it has this antimicrobial aspect to it. So you can put it on door handles. You can put it on, you know, interior trim pieces if they're painted, of course.
I know you don't like the C word, but it's for lack of a better term, it's something you would use instead of a ceramic coating, right? It's an alternative to a ceramic coating.
I would say that you could categorize it as that, but it is in that ceramic world to some degree. It's just a different, basically the way it works is there's resins and the real mixing or baking of the cake or mixing the food, that's where the difference sort of lies in that. And ours is based in organic stuff. When I say organic, I mean inorganic versus organic, not like, you know, vegetables from the earth kind of thing. Organic is in it has carbons, et cetera. So, it's just a little bit of a different version, and it's non-flammable, which is a very big deal. So that all these things took forever to figure out, because when you take, you know, flammability out of one aspect of it, it's kind of like a, you know, like a soundboard, like Zach has probably in front of him. Like you pull one of them up, the other one has to go down. This kind of aspect to it. So I didn't want to compromise certain things, and one of them was, you know, having it non-flammable, so that we could be able to ship them safely, et cetera, et cetera. For lack of a better word, yeah, it's in that same category. If you wanted something to put on your car that would last a really long time, beads is the safest product that we could make that could have the same characteristics or the strength and added in antimicrobial. It's the first one that I know of. Maybe there's other ones out there that have that sort of capability, and it's certainly proving itself in the market. So we're pretty stoked.
Does the word antimicrobial mean it just doesn't provide an environment for them to foster, or it actually kills microbes?
No. It protests against microbes.
It unionizes and holds a picket line.
So this is all just that. No, as soon as you say the word kill, you know, you have to be subject to EPA regulation and things like that. So no, it doesn't do any actual killing of anything. That's a whole other category.
We don't hurt people. We talk to people.
With guns in our hands. Guns.
Whoa. Hey, we ensure the windows in your business are kept safe. That's what we do.
So it just makes an inhospitable environment, and there's certain time frames within 24-hour period it reduces it by X amount, et cetera, et cetera. So you have to get all that. You can't just say that. You have to get all the certification and whatnot. So
here's some fucking weird shit that I just
go ahead please.
Well, because about these coatings, right? So at Westside we're interviewing for, and I think we found someone, for film and tint people who can come, you know, do installs here, right? So that we don't have to go drive customer cars to shops, right? And so we interviewed like four or five different folks. And inevitably, the film people also start talking about ceramic coatings. And one of them said some shit to me that I had never heard before, which is that they are doing ceramic coatings on parts of the interior, but not just plastic and carbon trim. He was actually talking about leather. What the fuck is that about? Can you ceramic coat or put these kind of coatings on like leather surfaces?
That's been around for a little bit, but it's not as popular as you know, as paint. So I can understand people not being understanding that. But yes, that is something that is sold. I'm not exactly 100% sure the validity of any of those claims. So there's lots of things out. Let me put it this way. The market for, certainly in the United States, for, hey, I want to put something on my car or in interior or anywhere on the car that I don't have to maintain it. Mm-hmm. That's very popular because of the American style, if you can read between the lines there, right?
What can I spend money on now to have an illegal immigrant put on my car so that I can be lazy later?
I don't know if I go that far, but you get you said it, not me. But
bro, we were there in
2005. I can understand why that. Yeah, it's true. That's true.
What's the statute on what's the statute on them guys? Do we get to worry about that in 2005? 15 years later, is it okay?
Yeah. So yes, they claim that kind of ceramic stuff. But if you think about it from more of a slightly chemical or scientific perspective, if you're going to put something that's ceramic, meaning SiO2 or something that forms a hard layer, it's not really going to work well on leather seats. That's what I was thinking.
So that's the part. To me, it was so, like, wait, I mean, the leather's again, supposed sure to be soft. Why do I want to put this hard shit on there? That was what I was like. What the fuck? But the guy was all, no, it's a real thing we do. And I'm like, well, but does it make my leather feel hard now? Is it like turn it into like a Reese's Pieces with a candy shell? soft on the inside? Like, what the fuck?
Basically, from what I understand, and again, I could be totally wrong and all wet on this because I'm sure there's something that they have that we haven't worked on yet, but it just basically makes things hydrophobic. I mean, that's just the pain. Yeah. Makes it hydrophobic.
Oh.
So
that's
it gives
it.
You an extra second if something spills on it. But like, so does Scotch-Brite or Scotch
Guard.
Scotch
Guard. Yeah.
Like for the last like 400 years, like you spray it on your carpets or whatever. It's not. It doesn't make the coffee stain go away. It gives you like that half a second to go, oh geez, oh crap, and then put a towel on it and soak it up.
Yeah.
That's kind of where that's at. But you can understand. I always think of it like Law and Order. You know, like you and I used to watch Law and Order and your Mountaineer, and you had like 5,000 Law and Orders that we could watch in your right.
DVDs in the truck. We had DVDs in the truck.
DVDs and truck back in the day, and I had that in the Impala where you could watch a movie. It was brilliant. But anyways,
yes, thank you, Alpine, for bringing us the flip out.
yes, that thing was so big. Anyways, Law and Order, you have SVU, you have whatever the other ones are, you have this one. So if something works, they make like 50 different versions of it, which I get. You know what I mean? So if a coating is going to work on a car, why not make one for wheels? Why not make one for glass? Why not make one for the interior? Why not make, you know what I mean? So that's where I think a lot of that motivation comes from. And I understand it's capitalism at its best, but I don't, to answer your question, I'm not 100% sure on the validity of those particular claims. But I know that detailers are making good money on it. So if people are willing to pay for it, then
That's for sure. There's a lot, everyone, you go to fucking any Cars and Coffee and it's like the Lambo Club for sure. The BMW Club's all about it. All they're all talking about their fucking ceramic coatings. They're always talking about that shit. I'm not sold yet. I'm gonna leave my 80s paint alone. I've gone sans coating. Just Derek. Yo, you know what Derek did that was really impressive? And he did it on the Ferrari, but he also did it on another customer car that came imported from overseas. The acid etching that gets the glass like new. Yeah. That was amazing. Yeah. That shit was awesome.
Did you have water spots everywhere?
Yeah, well, my windshield was just a little old and a little kind of, you know, had some residue y shit on it. The other vehicle, there's a customer car, was imported from Japan, and Derek did a full correction on it as well. And we hypothesized, based on the mileage and the type of car it was, and that it was an all-wheel drive car that was on the more practical side, that it was someone's like snowmobile in Japan, basically. That was their ski car, and it lived in the mountains or whatever, because it had, you know, oxidation and it had salt, and the glass had this sort of etched filminess on it. And so Derek hit it with the acid and it looks like brand new glass. It's incredible. It was very cool.
Yeah, the acid chews up all the minerals and all the stuff that gets jammed in there. That's a big deal. I think when people are detailing cars, that's like the one thing that is always left towards the end. It's like, we got to do windows last. And it's like, you did all this work, the car's all shiny and detailed or whatever, and then you kind of you leave the windows to the end, and then you realize, oh my gosh, there's water spots everywhere. So I actually have a video coming out in the next probably 3 weeks where we do polishing the glass, because a lot of people have asked about the water etching. And then once you take those water spots up, then how do you polish it to kind of bring it up? So Derek's the man. By the way, I sent him a couple of bottles either for your car or whatever.
He called me and he said he wants to come back up because you called him and he needs to put Reflex on my car.
you're going to see a massive difference. Yeah.
All right. I'm stoked. No, he did such a fucking good job. And Derek is available to members at Westside Collector Car Storage. If you even get a transient membership here, you can access those services. Larry's holding up a polisher of some kind. What do you got?
Hey, look at this. This is the all-new ammo polisher from
Lopez. Oh, it's got your fucking name on it?
Dude, look at that.
It's like Toro Rosso Red.
I can't see because I'm looking at a small screen, but I'm sure the audience looking full screen. It's awesome. They sell that like that?
Well, they don't, but we're hopefully doing some cool additions or something. So we're working on some fun stuff, but that would be pretty cool. I'm very excited that there's some cool things in the works for sure. That's not going to work for me.
You better fucking polish that polisher.
Bingo. Yeah. You need a tiny one.
Derek has brought over a polisher that had like a half inch head. I'm sure Larry has like three of these things also. What's the smallest little polisher you have?
We're going to grab them right now. I have a ton of little polishers over here. And then I even have one that's up there that's this big. I mean, like a tiny little polisher. It's a pretend one that you can give to, you know, the kid, my son. But look at the size of the pad.
Oh, yeah. But
whatever kid wants for Christmas.
Yeah, it's like a 3/4 inch pad. It's like little.
But do you have a tiny, you know, the tiny polisher itself, the tiny motor to power it?
Yeah, no, Derek was using the little one for like the louvers in the engine bonnet and stuff, and like the A-pillar between the trim. Yeah.
Yeah, we have one with an extension that extends super long. So like if you have to get into the engine and then polish, let's say, something that's down underneath, and you can't fit the tool in, you can actually get an extension. So it looks like the craziest dentist tool ever because it's so tiny and so long. But it's also really kind of hard to manage at that point because you're up here polishing down. I mean, we have little
tools. Oh, yeah, that's the little guy. Yeah, that's your rules.
Yeah. So Yeah, Rupes makes some cool stuff. And there's air-driven ones. This one's battery-powered, and you have air-driven ones. This is a 3-inch pneumatic.
What do you need an air-driven one for that electricity won't do?
Well, this is like the ultimate one. It has a lot more, it's got a lot more power to it, at least in my, or, you know, it's got a lot more strength to it. And then here's another air one that's a 1-inch.
Oh, yeah.
Look how, against my hand.
Look, it's tiny. Yeah, it's little. Just don't know. You're flowing. It's a lot of air to flow it continuously, right? Because this thing is like, it's not like an impact gun where it's just on for a minute.
No, this thing right here, I can't tell you what it is. I can't remember it, but this one devours fuel. So when we made all the, you see all the, right there, all the air, there's 6 of them. One there, one over here, and then 3 up here. So when we designed how much the building could sustain in terms of its air capacity, we based it off of this particular one, which is one of the smaller ones, the LHR-75. We have so many tools here, I can't think of which one is which, but this one devours fuel. So we had to make it so that if, in theory, all 6 reels were going at one time, they could kick this one. And so that's why we have a huge tank in the back with twin motorcycle engines pumping out the sides. I mean, the thing is
it's actually motorcycle engines?
Yeah, yeah. Motorcycle V engine, whatever that model is. But I mean, obviously it's been modified to be able to use for a a compressor. Yeah. So it pumps air out. In fact, it's actually pumping too much air. And so this week we're trying to figure out how to dial it back because we have palm sanders. And we were blowing too much air through there, so we were blowing up the seals inside the air. We were like,
nice,
you know, Tim the Toolman Taylor, a little too much power going on in here the last couple of days. But yeah, man, it's pretty cool.
That's awesome. We got a couple of questions from the people, if you don't mind, before we wrap this up and let you get home to your family, because you're on East Coast time. If you're with us in the live chat, get questions in the next 10 seconds. Zachary? That's the first one there?
That's the first one I found for Larry specifically.
All right, cool. Ryukachu says, what do you see on the horizon as the next steps in detailing technology, or are those things heavily gated by material science advantages, so there's not much new to speak of?
I would say that from a chemical perspective, I think there's going to be a lot of really exciting things coming out. What people need to sort of realize is, from what I understand and from what the chemists are talking about, detailing is one of the lagging industries in terms of technology. It usually comes out on the higher levels, meaning like the government and, you know, bridges and buildings and things specifically with coating. So a lot of times when I talk to these coating manufacturers, they're like, oh, you guys, and they like rub your hair like, oh, you young kids down there playing with your detail stuff, you're so cute, you know, that kind of stuff. They're like, we've been doing this for 30 years on government buildings and like the fleets of you know, like Humvees in the army. Like, think about it, they actually put coatings, from what I understand, at least in Canada, on their Humvees or their attack vehicles or whatever, because if they get hit with a nuclear whatever or drop the bomb of whatever, this is out of my world, then the entire, you know, $2 billion worth of equipment would be lost, where they couldn't be able to clean them off and potentially save their...
You mean like radioactive dust or something on there that you could get hose off if it was coated?
I don't know if it's that. I don't know the specific, like, I know someone's going to like freak out, be like, that's not true. And like, I understand. I'm saying, I don't understand. I don't know all of the facts, but I know I've been on a conversation with someone who applies coatings to bigger things. I went and asked a million people, I'm like, what is going on with these coatings? Explain to me like the real stuff. And then they got on here and they had that attitude of like, you detailing guys are so cute, because when we put it on these buildings or battleships or things where, like, imagine like one bomb goes off and the ship is still there. When I say bomb, I don't know, like what you said, some fallout or whatever.
Yeah.
And the ship still stands, but nobody can go on it. It's a $20 billion ship. And they're like, that's garbage now because we can't step on the boat because it's got all the stuff on it. They actually take like spray guns.
Right. What you're describing has got to be radioactive dust, basically.
I don't know, something like that.
Radioactive dust, or that, like that chemical weapons, right? Mm-hmm. Like if a chemical weapon.
That's what I meant.
Oh, okay.
That's what I think it is. Chemical weapon type thing. Okay. Like I think Assad dropped or whatever, like that
sure.
kind of something. I don't know. But when they put it on, the point I'm trying to make is when they put it on, you know, they have full hazmat on and it's like a, you know, it takes 2 months or something to put it on, but they literally roll it on and then they spray it. It's like a whole procedure.
So the point is
when you do something like on a car, you're not rolling it on, or you're not taking it to the body shop to re-coat the car. So all the coatings out there are basically this derivative of watered down versions. And so that's why they always, like, you guys are so cute playing with your cars, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that's a long way of saying, I think the technology is going to get better and better in terms of the chemistry because it's there. Like it's already up there. We just can't find a way to be able to make it so that somebody can hand apply it versus put it on with a spray gun. Who's going to do that? Who's going to do that in their driveway? So yeah, I think the sky's the limit because we're behind the curve.
Got it. Does that make sense? Yes. Chappie wants to know if I would ever sell my Lamborghini and buy a stick Mercy and ride that up. Well, first off, unless you're talking about LP640, my car is worth more than a stick Mercy right now at current market price. But more importantly, when you're buying a collector car, even if it's an investment, it should be the car you like want. You know, when I bought my car, I didn't want a Mercy. I could have bought a Mercy. I wanted a Countach. I've driven Mercies. They're nice, but they don't speak to me in particular as something that I need to have in my garage. Whereas every time I see the Countach, even if I'm not driving it, I just look at it. I go, that's my Countach. And so that's really enjoyable.
What's the deal with the Peterson Museum in that, Matt?
Bro, it's not Peterson's fault. I don't. They're doing the best they can given the circumstances. Oh. The city won't let them
open. I don't know any of this, by the way.
My Lambo's at the Peterson. They've got an exhibit. It's beautiful. It's about the history of the supercar, and they've got like the 25 most important supercars of the last 50 years, right? And it's badass. There's a McLaren F1, there's a Miura F40, the Roof Yellowbird is there. There's a bunch of awesome cars that are there. But unfortunately, the county and the, I don't know if it's the city, county, or state, which governing body is involved, but they will not let them open. Now, given what we're seeing in this massive spike in COVID rates the last couple of weeks, maybe that's actually for the best. But it is frustrating a little bit because I tried to do a good thing by giving my car to a museum, hoping that people would get to see it, and they're not really getting to see it right now, which sort of sucks. I could be fucking driving it, you know?
So how does that work? Do you like leave it? Did you have to like sign a contract or something and like leave it with them for X amount of time?
Yeah, I agreed to leave it with them for 8 months.
Oh my gosh. Because I'm leaving this in the Aldrian Museum behind me, the 964, for the winter.
Yeah.
But I don't have to like sign anything or whatever. It's not necessarily, it's going in like their fleet of cars. You know, that's going up in Rhode Island in the next couple of days. I'm coming down to pick it up. Have you heard the Aldrian Museum?
No.
Newport, Rhode Island?
No, but I love Newport. I'll check it out next time there.
Yeah, it's really cool. He's got, you know, 300 or 400 cars there, another couple hundred cars in Virginia, and he rotates them all around. But privately held collection, you know, same kind of idea.
Nice. No, they made me sign a loan agreement, you know, saying that I wasn't being paid and that they were there any special care instructions and from this period to this period, and I have insurance, and that's really it. Yeah, it was pretty basic. It wasn't anything weird, but it's just a bummer because it's a car that, it's not like an extra car, and I'm like, oh, thank God, I've got somewhere to shove this thing for a year. It's like I have the biggest garage ever, and I have plenty of room to keep it myself, and I like driving it. So it's kind of a bummer that I'm not driving it if people aren't going to be able to go check it out at the museum. But it's very nice to be asked and to get to display a car at the Peterson. It's the best car museum in the country, so that's cool, you know?
That is awesome. I'm sure you've talked about it at length, but your shop, everything is good. We haven't spoken before.
Maybe
we'll do it offline.
Yeah, no, it's good. Business is cruising. Yeah, we're doing all right. We're doing all right. It's good. I mean, you know, considering pandemic, considering, you know, it's not the best time of year to start a new business, we're great. We're doing well. We got happy customers.
Awesome.
Yeah. Awesome. Zach, what do we got next, buddy? Pull it back up. We've got... Oh, someone wants to know about the Blueface Rolex Skydweller. It's a fabulous watch. It's an absolutely fabulous watch. I've worn one. It's great. It's Rolex's most complicated watch. It's an annual calendar, which means that it doesn't do leap year, but it knows what months have 30 and 31 days, and it adjusts itself accordingly. If I was that much more of a baller, I would have one, and I would never fault anybody for buying one. They would have excellent taste. Andy wants to know. All right, I'm going to change Andy's question around for Larry. Larry, why did you buy a 964 and not a 993? 993s are better. Yeah, that's my reaction too. The head shake. Someone just said, Matt, why did you buy a 328 and not a 348? Like, because the 328 is the one I wanted when I was this tall. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, because you buy your dream cars.
I don't know that. Yeah, I saw a picture of this when I was, I don't want to say super young, but probably like 20 or something. And I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. And it was a rendering. It was blue. And somebody put smoke out the back. And somebody drew it. And I was like, that thing is cool.
Sounds like someone like Chip Foosed it.
It was kind of Chip Foosey. It's not. It's true. It was lowered, had bigger wheels on it. You know, it was a drawing. So that one in particular, I have it burned in my memory. That's why I was so obsessed with that one. But yeah, there you go. I don't know how you must get 1,000 of those questions a day.
I mean, well, because when you're talking about old cars, there's almost nothing where someone goes, well, why did you buy that old car? The one that's 5 years newer is better. Well, okay, but the one that's newer is not the one that I saw on the street corner when I was eight that made me go, oh my God, look at that. You know what I mean? You buy these cars to take you back to a certain point in your life. Now, that's not to say that someone might not say, gee, I'd like to own a Ferrari. Which one can I buy? And people will do that too. But that's not us. You're not talking about that. You're not talking. Me and Larry, we buy the cars that we dreamt of owning, you know?
Right.
Not just, oh, I want an old Porsche.
What's the latest Ferrari or whatever? Yeah, I want to feel a certain way.
Or even, what's the thing that people want in old cars and we should go get, you know?
Dude, I remember what I was supposed to be, why we called. We're supposed to be doing the plug. My bad.
Better now.
Yeah, holy jeez. If I hung up, I'd be like, what did I just get on the whole thing for? The video game.
Because you're our friend.
I remembered it, but I didn't want to fucking say it and blow up your spot if it wasn't ready.
Same.
The fucking video game, bro.
Crazy. Yes, thank you. Dude, I'm losing it. I'm so overwhelmed with craziness at the moment, but whew, that's
is the YouTube trailer up yet? The cut that you sent me, the thing, can people see it yet?
Yes, it's up and it's going.
It's on. Is it on your YouTube channel? Let's roll the dice. Let's see if we can play this thing on the show without getting fucked, Zach.
No, you can do if Zach goes into the 280Z video, which I posted a video today. We can talk about that. I pulled that. The 5 Series BMW had the most disgusting thing. We pulled the entire interior out and rebuilt it, and we're selling it for parts. That was today. The other one was a 280Z that had 350 miles. Like, all of this is, like, you can't make this up. 350 miles. The guy bought it 44 years ago, drove it back from somewhere in Jersey to Hershey, Pennsylvania, like 150 miles or whatever, for a total of 350 miles. I think it had 150 miles on it. Yeah, go to the... Zach, go to the second
first
one.
First wave in 44 years? Yeah.
Jesus Christ, your fucking view counts. Your view counts are off the goddamn chain. 3 million, 3.5 million views in fucking 10 days on this? Jesus Christ. Hang myself.
So anyways, if you go in like halfway through, you can pull it up while we're chatting. But anyways, 44 years, if you haven't seen it yet, go see this. It's a crazy... He parked it in his garage, Matt. He got a scratch on it. He pulled the fender off. to see like if he could fix it or whatever. He didn't get the parts that he wanted. He left them to the side, put all the parts that he did take off, put it in the trunk, and then decided, hey, I'm not going to drive this because of the scratch, right? And then he ran into some financial issues for X amount of years. The car sat there, dude, for 44 years.
What?
Like, when I opened up the door, Matt, I'm not even exaggerating. When I opened up the door, it smelled just like a new car, and it still had the plastic on the seats.
What?
Like, you can't find this. It was the
what kind
the,
of a person thing. Does this? Who's this bad at math? What? Who has gotten their math so wrong that they determine that it is financially sound to park a brand new car for 40 fucking years?
I'm telling you, what kind of math is this? Listen, the guy was obsessed with the car. He changed the tape deck. You know, it's like some tape deck to another one, to Macintosh, whatever. He got financially messed up. It's on Bring a Trailer right now, believe it or not. It's on Bring a Trailer.
And how much is it?
I looked at it like 2 days ago. It was like $90. I think Zach could probably find it too. It's probably pretty $90, $90,000.
Yeah. Well, it'll probably go for big money, but even still, that's a terrible investment. Like, this is terrible.
Why?
Why?
The car itself?
Yeah. To buy a car and park it for 40 years, even if it's worth a bunch of money in 40 years, it's a terrible investment.
Okay, I got you. I thought you meant the person who would buy the car now is a terrible investment to buy.
No, not necessarily. I have no idea what it sells for. Yeah, no. I mean, good luck finding a brand fucking new 240Z. That's the only... it's at...
Oh, yeah, wrong one.
That's not it. Yeah, no, 355. Yeah. It's 100K right. Jesus. It ends in 6 days and it's at 100K.
It's at 100K. Is that good?
I mean, it'll probably sell for $200,000. I mean, it's one of, you know, this is one of those situations where you've got a car that's got an enthusiast following and good luck finding another one. Where are you going to find another brand new Z at any price? If you are in the market, if you decide, you wake up one day and you go, I really want a Z in showroom new condition, how much time and money would it take you to find that? You know what I mean?
It's impossible to find that. It's impossible. And I want to be clear, that guy didn't make an investment. That guy just was really obsessed with that car and didn't feel like he wanted to drive it unless it was in perfect condition, and he couldn't find the fender or some like weird piece or something. And then he kind of just, I don't want to say forgot about it, but was so fastidious that he couldn't bring himself to drive it if it wasn't perfect. Some type of story like that. It's crazy. I'm not arguing that it's not crazy. It's very strange. It's just, I don't think it was a financial thing. It was like, oh my God, I can't drive this unless it's perfect.
That's even weirder, but whatever. Whatever.
Dude,
it's cool.
I mean, I cleaned it.
Yo, but your video game shit isn't in that video. What the fuck?
It is.
Oh, that's it. Oh, fuck. That's the video game. I thought that was the actual video. Are we showing this on the screen?
That's the fucking game.
Larry had a video game made where he goes into warehouses full of barn finds, pulls them out, cleans them, and then slangs them. This is a game.
That's the car that I did, the Mercedes.
Yeah.
I got like 20 million views or whatever it is. So then we shampoo.
That's fucking so sick. You got this foam gun. This is a pure, I mean, you need to be a massive nerd to want to detail cars virtually. I mean, I'm not going to lie. We're talking
we have like from what they're telling me, we have like the most amount of added to wish list kind of thing. So it's definitely going to go through from what I can see for it to be built. You know, you have to have enough people to, otherwise it's not worth building it. But
the graphics are amazing.
It looks really, really good.
You sent us this trailer, a few months ago when you were starting the idea. And I remember Matt told me what the thing was, and I was like, man, that's ridiculous. And then I looked at it, I was like, oh shit. I mean, if you're going to make a detailing video game, you did it correctly. Like, the graphics are insane. You have all the different tools there. And you got a lot of like really cool lighting details on the cars and the dust. And the whole thing looks pretty realistic, dude.
But let me ask you a question, Larry. Is as of today, right now, November 13th, does anything playable exist, or is it here's this awesome conceptual trailer that we have to raise funds or interest to then build a playable game?
No, it's the interest aspect, and I'm pretty darn sure that we've checked that mark, that box, and we're good to go at this point. Now it just has to be built, but it's not like we have to get $10 million to figure out how to make the game or whatever. It's just
but what we're looking at is not what you would call gameplay footage, right? It's a concept trailer, right?
Yes, that's correct.
All right, I'm not trying to like fucking interrogate you. I just want to know how far along the fucking thing is all. This is cool.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty darn close to that.
I mean, if the gameplay looks like this, it's pretty impressive.
Is it like in what ways could you fuck up the car? You know what I mean? You don't want it to be just like click here to polish. So like, how could it go wrong so that you're not just going through these steps and it's actually a challenge?
Yeah, like you could miss spots and things like that. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. If you don't like vacuum in a certain way, like you see like there's dirt there. Like, you know, so you actually have to physically do things. So that's, you know, but there is a level to your point. It's not like I don't know, when you put a game on like easy mode and it's like you swing the bat and all of a sudden it's a whole time. But there's also not, you know, it's not all the way to the other end too. So it's somewhere in the middle where it's realistic, meaning like, you understand what I'm saying? You're not just
hard
either.
Is the idea that it's for phones? It's a mobile game?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. That's awesome. Where do people go and add it to their wish list or whatever? Whatever it is you do.
It's on the bottom. Zach, can you, there's like a whole long name. I can't remember what the name of it is.
But pull up the thing. Where do you tell people to go? Jesus Christ. You just basically search it in the Steam store. Is that pretty much the easy instruction?
Yeah, that's where we're doing it. So you can add it to the wish list.
Yeah, there's
and then once
not...
you get on the wish list, it's live, then it...
Right. So just search for it in the Steam store. Car detailing simulator ammo. You will find it. Or go to that
Steam
video.
What? Yeah. More importantly, go to the video. Go to the ammo video and then go from there.
Yeah.
And subscribe.
Yeah. You know you've got fucking and bro. What are there 4,000 comments on in this video of the Jesus Christ?
Yeah, but I'm trying to figure out, Matt, do you know what the best way is to get people to, like, the notification thing is my issue. Like, you've been doing this longer than I have. I can't get people to get notified. Like,
they have to click the little bell next to the, it's the subscribe and then the bell.
How do you get them to, like, how do I remind them to do that within the video without being so, like, flat-footed?
You have to be flat-footed.
Yeah,
you got to swallow your, I don't do it, and that's why I'm not good at YouTube. But the people that are good at YouTube are all like and subscribe.
Right. I probably.
Yeah. You and I don't like feeling fucking dumb. That's why we don't do that. But it's to our own financial peril.
Do with a graphic too. But it's just instead of telling people to subscribe, you got to tell them now to like also hit the notification button. Because I had someone yesterday who was like, hey.
I tried that on my latest video.
Right. Think also we are facing a new challenge where people have content from so many different places that they might be subscribed to 20 YouTube channels and they might have clicked the bell on 10 of them, but if they don't look at their YouTube inbox or if they don't have it set up to email me when Larry puts a new video up, you know, they might come hit us up and go, hey man, I didn't get notified about your video. It's like, you probably did, but you didn't see it. So we're chasing the attention of all these people that have so many different media sources.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Right. Hey, did you guys see that I put Doug in there as well?
You told me we didn't play the trailer until the very end. But yeah, there's a Cars and Bids integration, which is very kind of you to add Doug to your game.
I was trying to help him out, and when I first contacted him, he's like, "I'm really busy" or whatever, and I was like, "Okay, but I have an idea that I think you might like. If you want to call me back." He seems to be a busy fellow there. So.
I'm sure he is. He said he's run 1,000 auctions already. That's a lot.
Wow.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That guy kills it. I don't know. His retention is just out of control, but he's a whole other story. He kills it, man. That is a machine.
Well, we've talked to him about it. It's because he's a freak. It's because that he likes things that you and I don't like. The opinions of lots of strangers in his face all the time. Like, he likes that. And yeah. we don't like that. So that's why, that's how you, that's the difference. Honestly, that's the difference between a million subscribers and a million and a half, or four or five and beyond with this industry. That's the difference.
So basically people come to him and just like ask him a zillion questions. Is that basically?
And he's about it. And they send him stupid shit all day on the fucking internet. And he's about it. And he engages in the dumbest shit and he likes it. And the, and you and I go, you know, we can't, we don't have the capability. We can't do it. So, and most people can't do it. It's free. It's fucking freaks. Like, what, you know, people have their, your neuroticism, your neuroses and craziness and obsessiveness lends itself very well to detailing. Me being loud and obnoxious lends itself to fucking making videos, you know, but the thing that holds me back is I don't really like people that much. And so I like making videos, but I make videos by myself in the middle of the goddamn desert, you know, Doug, you know. He really likes those interactions with those people, and I don't mean I don't like people. If you see me on the street, by please say hi. I'll be nice to you. Like, I'm, it's not, that's not what I'm trying to say. You know what I mean? But yeah. There, you know, people send me a photo of a car, and they're like, it's not like they, it's not like, oh, there was a Countach parked in front of my house. Like, they'll go find a picture of a Countach somewhere on the internet and send it to me and go, here's a picture. And you go, what the fuck? What am I supposed to do? And Doug will be like, that's awesome. Thanks. I love Countaches too. Let's be friends. And that's why he has fucking 5 million subscribers, because he's a freak, because he doesn't think that's weird. So don't beat yourself up for not being like has having his numbers, because you and I are more like each other than we are like him in that regard. Yeah. We have shit to do.
Yeah. Also, Larry, you know, 2 weeks ago, your 280Z video, it has 3.5 million views.
Yeah,
and
by the way,
a month ago, you did another one that has 3.5, like, you know, you're not getting like 20,000 going, I don't know how to crack this YouTube.
Yeah, kid. Right. And your videos, I was about to say, you were bitching about notifications. Meanwhile, your videos regularly exceed your subscriber numbers, which is not a common thing. So whatever you're doing,
that's good.
Your problem is that you're not doing more of it. You should just be doing that.
And I'm trying. We're really trying hard.
I mean, I know it's a part of you, Larry. Like, you know, you'll never be doing enough or doing well enough, but you're doing fucking good. I mean, look at the place you're sitting in that you built. It's awesome.
And obviously, and look, just by looking at your homepage on your YouTube channel, Larry, which I'm looking at right now, it's very obvious what works and what doesn't for you. Your how-to videos are between 200,000 and 300,000 views, which is great. I can see four of them here. How to paint polish by hand versus machine, how to clean and disinfect, and how to remove scratches. Now, those all have about 20, I don't know, a sixth of your subscribers watch those. Now, when you have a car that is incredibly dirty, barn find, disgusting mouse, fucking biohazard, first wash in 30 years, you literally get 10 to 15 times the traffic on those. Now, I know you can't always find a barn find to do, but fucking the multiplier, it takes you the same amount of time to make one of these videos as it does to make the other one. The multiplier of the cleaning the dirtiest thing I can find is so extraordinary that you would kind of be an idiot not to just do that. Because you could literally make...
I'm trying to be careful.
What do you mean, be careful? Be careful about fucking what?
I'm trying to be careful. You know, we've talked about this offline, as I want to make sure that I, you know, still give the how-to stuff. But I think if people understood the behind the scenes like you understand, you can articulate what I'm going to say a little bit better. Like, if I'm going to get that much more traffic and get that much more visibility and, like, you know, you know, accolades or whatever the word is that I'm looking for, you know, psychologically in these videos, I'm going to focus more on that. Or another way, I get more views if I do this than I'm. That's why I started the other channel. And so I get some people that say, hey, why don't you do more of the how-to things? And sometimes I'm like, because nobody watches it. Like,
yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yes.
The jam. The
That's why. That's why people say to me, hey, why don't you do this? Or, hey, why don't you do that? I love that. And I go, look at the numbers, bro. You and a few other people love it. And the masses love this other thing. That's the way it is, you know? That's the difference between anecdote and data. You know, an anecdote it's can true. Feel like
That's
a lot. If you get 100 emails and go, why did you stop doing that? And you go, holy shit, I got 100 emails. It must be a lot. It's like, yeah, but that's like two zeros off of what we're talking about. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And so I've had that same sort of issue with lives. I'm not sure if I'm going to do lives anymore because I got like a lot of people who love the live. You know what I mean by lives? Lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
Too. Lives. And then I got a bunch of other people saying like, hey, you didn't answer my question, or you answered it too quickly, or whatever. And I'm like, I have this panic attack when I'm on live, not because I'm talking to camera. You and I've been doing this for 10 years or whatever. I don't care about that. I care about not being able to answer. I'm looking at the big screen TV, or so we put it there so I can see the comments and not go like this, you know. I don't know how you guys do it. I can't answer them fast enough because they keep going like this. And so I was getting all this mail.
We only answer the super chat ones, by the way. They have to give money and then we answer it.
No, I was answering every single one that came.
Oh,
up.
No, don't do that. Stop. No.
My eyes
oh, shit. They're going crazy fast. Of course you can't answer all of them. No, they have to answer the super chat.
I'm like, slow down. I can't. I was like,
no.
People like, you're so unprofessional. I'm like, guys, I'm trying to answer all of them, but you guys, Zach and Matt have known me for 20 something years. I can't just give like a yes or the question. It's like, do it really well. You know what I mean? You got to give a little more information based on whatever the, you know, the car is. So I was like, I can't do lives anymore. I can't answer everybody's questions because I'm not doing it well. I'm doing these sort of half-ass answers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, you only answer the super chat questions, Larry. If it's not about being greedy with money, it's about just that couple of dollars that it takes to do the super chat. It gets a higher level of commitment from your question askers than just being able to toss it out there. You know, they're a little more invested in your answer, and you get a much more reasonable number of questions. Yeah. That's right. The thing.
That's why I started the other channel too. So now
what's the other channel?
My whole nerd stuff. It's called Ammo NYC Studio.
Oh, got
it. Like I just tried to keep it as close to possible. So like, hey, I put anything up there where I'm like pontificating on something. I put a 2.5 hour detail video up there that we just did like straight detailing. It's on the, you'll see Ammo NYC Studio. Zach's looking it up. But so there I basically have released my guilt in that channel, meaning anything up there that's super nerd where I don't care if it gets 1,000 views or 10 million views. I mean, obviously I'd want more, but I don't look at that and go like, darn, it didn't get the views that I want to. And I'm only getting, you know, 10 or 20,000 views. Great. I have 30,000 subscribers in 2 months or whatever it is. So
yeah,
that's my release.
That's almost like a podcast channel.
Basically, I don't spend like a week. Right now I'm spending almost 4 days editing each video, and I'm shooting the video in 2 or 3 days. So if
that's not good. That's not good math.
That's not a good look. No, it's not
good.
Not
a good math. So no, we need to work on that math.
I'm pouring my heart into these videos right now. So it's
You gotta do both ends of that math problem, dude. You know that. We've talked about this. You can't just do the one end of the math problem. But that's okay. I understand why you want more subscribers, because you're fucking putting a week into a video, even if it does 4 million views. A week's a lot of time, you know. Yeah.
It's too much right now. I'm trying to figure. I have 12 videos in the can, and I'm pulling. Oh, I can tell you guys this. I'm pulling a Grand National from Staten Island. Read between lines there. Grand National from Staten Island.
I'm sorry. Let me be entirely shocked that you found a Grand National in Staten Island.
I put that up on a tee for you. I was going to let you knock that out of the park there. So that one, it has like...
it's got blood on it.
500 miles or something. Yeah, it's got 500 miles, and I'm going to be pulling that one out next week. So I have these amazing videos, And I would put one out one after the other, but it's like, how do you do that? I gotta,
yeah.
I gotta hire like a Nino. Is Nino still even around?
Yeah. Yes. He edits TV and he has a clothing line that's doing really well called Di Florencio Fashion. And it's not a bullshit, like Nino himself is sewing the clothes. Like he makes the fucking clothes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right,
so
right.
He actually has a boutique, awesome. Di Florencio Fashion. There it is. That hat I just saw him wear the other night at dinner. It was good. Let's just say, Larry, it's not, you and I wouldn't necessarily look good in it, but if you look like Nino, it's perfect.
Yes, he's a unique look for sure.
The coat is cool. No, he makes some cool shit. He's gotten very good at making clothes, and he's hand making every single item.
And he did this thing with magnets. So like he built these scarves that have magnets in them that you can wrap them weird ways, and then some of the shirts have it. So you could like, you know, if it's hot climate or whatever, just style stuff.
Your scarf will magnetically clip to your shirt so it doesn't like blow off in the wind. It's actually pretty cool.
Very clever.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
I'm happy for him. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's good.
Dude, I dig that guy.
Yeah, Nino's chilling it.
Dude, we got Inside Edition coming here pretty soon, too.
Oh, yeah? Is that Mario Lopez? Is that Inside Edition? Which one is that? Is that Entertainment? I don't know.
Isn't that an Inside Edition of the investigative thing, or it used to be? Yeah. Are you in trouble?
It used to be. No. So like right now, because the videos are going like crazy, the 280Z got picked up by WPIX last week. So it was in Right This Now, Right This Minute, where there's like three people on the panel and they talk about cool videos or cool whatever. That was on TV, which is cool. Inside Edition, we're very close to figuring out this deal for a one episode thing where this guy down the street has this van and really, really sweet man. Older guy, if I could do it quickly, I would send you a text message, Zach, of the picture of the inside of the car. The truck is completely insane. In fact, I may even ask Dan. Hey,
like
can you,
Shaggin' if, Wagon insane? Like van, what kind of van are we talking about here?
Like Shaggin' Wagon type of van. But when I tell you the whole thing is full from beginning to the front to the back, and then the driver's seat itself has stuff on it, and the older gentleman sits down on it. Now, I wanted to be really careful because he's an older guy. He's an engineer. He feels like he can, like, restore all these things. Zach, we're going to send you a picture of it, and then hopefully you can put it up real quick. He just sent it to you now. And I said, hey, they're dying to do this. I'll clean your car for you, but I wanted to make sure that – tell me when you get it, Zach.
He's working on it.
Man. Yeah,
you'll see it. You'll see it, Larry. When he's got it.
This little man. Okay, so he finally agreed to it, and we're supposed to have a phone call tomorrow or Monday, whatever day it is, Monday. And I think we're actually gonna pull every piece out. Now he's got like saws in there. He's got like lathes in there. What is it? There's a table in there. I mean, just like everything you could ever imagine.
Like he has a whole shop in the van.
It's not that he drives around and collects things, but you look at it and you're like, this was from like 1960. I mean, I cannot wait to take everything out of there and completely restore his van. But we have to put it back in. The whole crux of the story is sort of understanding his purpose for doing all this stuff. But behind the scenes, what I'm working with them is they want to do that. And I'm happy to detail it. And he wants the detail. I just was very clear that I didn't want them to make him look, I didn't want, you get what I'm saying? I didn't want
like
him
a
to,
hoarder.
He's an older gentleman. Yeah, I didn't want him to make him feel bad about all that stuff. So that's what we're doing, and hopefully, if that goes through, that's going to go on television. And we're doing a PBS special. Are you ready for this? In Northern Africa.
What?
a PBS special on. It's called Off the Beaten Path, where they follow random people, and they have a 13 episode thing where they follow random people doing like weird jobs. So I'm going to be restoring one of Glickenhaus's cars in the episode.
Wait. Like I'm sorry.
The YouTube videos.
Wait. You're going to Africa to restore one of his cars?
No, the video is going to. I can see how you would get.
That'd be cool.
I'm confused.
We're going to be restoring his car and. This is a PBS channel from the U.S. government, but apparently
I thought you were going. I was like, but he's in Danbury. I was like, you're going right there. You're going to fly to Africa.
I'm going the furthest away that I possibly can to do a car with.
Oh, dude, the guy's van. Yeah. This van, bro. I mean, listen, if you're trying to not use the H word about this person.
Yeah. I'm trying not to, is what I'm trying to do.
Well, I'm sorry. Did you say you're going to detail it and then put it all back?
In the back. Well, I was going to, the part of the video was for me to pull it all out and sort of categorize it for him and like see like what like is real and what's not. And like if there's something in there from like the, you know, literally from the 70s.
Homie, you are getting in way the fuck over your head. You don't know what this guy's going to fucking.
If you think that's over your head.
Bro, what if this guy freaks out? Have you ever watched an episode of Hoarders before? These people fucking freak out when they start taking shit out of their houses. They decide that they need 100 years worth of newspapers. This is going to go bad, dude.
I know.
Do you have social workers fucking ready for this, man? You're going to have... I can just picture you. You're going to end up... either between 1 and 100 times, you're going to say, hands in the air, I don't know anything, I'm just the guy who cleans the car.
Zach, I sent you another picture of the back. Check that out, too. But yes, we the two pictures. We
I bet I can guess what the back looks like based on the front.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned.
I mean, it's full. The back
a van
is full.
Best described full. As exploded, full. Packed.
Yeah. If you had things in a van,
all down.
Like if you drove two vans back to back, and one was full and one was empty, and then the full one they slam on the brakes together, and all the stuff went from the full one to the empty one. That's kind of how it would look in the back here.
Yeah, right. Dense, really densely. Densely packed. Yeah. Okay. Good luck with that, Larry.
Anyhow.
Bring a social worker.
There you go. Yes.
All right. That's our fucking show. That was a good one. I'm going to let you get back to the kid and the wife. And
I
hope I'm going to put a vote in for your video game. I don't really play video games, but I will if it means I can detail a fake car for sure. It's gonna get me across the bridge, buddy.
Thank you.
I'm just fucking around. You're gonna make. You know what? I'm gonna make fun of you, but you're gonna get fucking rich. That's how that works, right? That's exactly.
Oh
how
yeah.
It works.
Yeah. I'm gonna sit right by the mailbox and wait for that.
You will be laughing all the way to the bank with that video game. Folks, go watch Larry's videos. Ammo NYC is the YouTube channel. Ammo NYC Studio is the long form educational content. Larry's a man who gets dirty. He's like the Dirty Jobs guys, but of cars. That's pretty much what it is. It's like I think the audience just likes to see someone put on a hazmat suit and be around disgusting shit. That's how it works, right?
You're 100% right.
And you can buy Larry's products at ammonyc.com. At Westside Collector Car Storage, we exclusively use ammo products on the cars that we detail here. And so Larry, you'll be happy to know that after our inventory management system was in place, since we had that phone call, which was on October 22nd that we had that phone call, we have only finished... Yeah. Two bottles of product since the 22nd of October.
That's good.
So
that's good.
Our foam product. Gun,
that's where you get nailed.
Yeah, the foam gun, you use it for the videos and you use it for the real fucking dirty cars, but you do not use it for the regular washes. That's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, we have a new website. Here's my plug. We have a new website coming pretty soon that's going to be insane. And then my podcast start up as well. There's my plug. I knew there was something else I needed to remember. New podcast coming out because obviously we have the room upstairs, so we're starting to build up all the podcasts and talk about nerdy detailing stuff. So I'll have more information on that very soon. There you go.
All right, man. It's a good show. Have a good weekend. Yeah. I'll talk to you soon, brother. Thanks for doing it. I appreciate it.
Yep.
Next time.
Thank you.
Next time, how about you get your fucking shit in order before we start? I'm just saying.
Yeah. On that note, goodbye.
All right. Peace out, bitches. I'll see you later. That's our show. Have a good weekend, everybody. Good night.